Happy Thursday out there, Team 42. It's your skipper here, Darius Delta, present our macro minute for Thursday, March 26, 2026. As always, we'll start with the executive summary from today's lead-off morning note. So let's dive right in. Today's key macro question is, why haven't stocks crashed yet? Our answer is because the Bayesian priors of the growth, inflation, monetary policy, fiscal policy, and liquidity cycles were all generally positive for most institutional investors at the start of this conflict. There hasn't been enough time and reported macro and micro data to cause them to revise their GDP and earnings expectations materially lower. These negative revisions are forthcoming and will snowball as long as the Iran conflict removes petroleum products from the global economy. Here are the most important things we learned today regarding the six key macro cycles that influence the momentum and dispersion within and across asset markets on a trend basis, starting with the growth cycle. The latest initial and continuing jobless claims data currently signal a low probability of a developing recession in the U.S. economy. The 42 macro Fab 5 recession signaling indicators currently signal a low probability of a developing recession in the U.S. economy as well, as does the 42 macro business cycle model. As we have discussed with our global investor community since the outset of this conflict, cross-asset crashes occur when our positioning model signals the crowded bullish positioning and when new information causes investors to materially and durably question the generally positive Bayesian priors signaled by our macro weather model regarding the other five key macro cycles. So let me say that again. Cross-asset crashes occur when our positioning model signals crowded bullish positioning, check, and when new information causes investors to materially and durably question the generally positive Bayesian priors signaled by our macro weather model regarding the other five key macro cycles, check. Said simply, markets crash when consensus is crowded on the bullish side of the trade and surprising economic or policy developments force them to abandon their positive expectations. The risk of this behavioral dynamic occurring over the next month or two is extremely high from our perspective, given the precondition of a historic degree of crowded bullish positioning heading into the year, everyone thinking growth, inflation, monetary policy, fiscal policy, and liquidity all being generally positive. Not everyone. Institutional investors, the folks we're meeting with in our Porter Pro meetings, the YouTube community is always bearish, and the perma bears get even louder the higher the PE multiple and the S&P goes. So that's not a real legitimate process. But the people with real legitimate processes managing hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars across global financial markets, the kinds of folks we communicate with on a regular basis in our Porter Pro service, they generally think things are fine. And so the longer this goes on, coming from a starting point of historic degree of crowded bullish positioning, the more likely it is that markets start to spiral to the downside alongside GDP and earnings estimates. That is forthcoming every day on the x-axis that this crisis persists. Investors need to be aware of that. With regards to the inflation cycle, amid ongoing indirect negotiations taking place via Pakistan, the Pentagon is evaluating escalatory scenarios featuring both ground troop deployment and large-scale aerial assault framed as a, quote, final blow. The Trump administration, let me get back to this. Meanwhile, President Trump warned Iran to, quote, get serious before it was too late. Iran's state-owned press indicates Tehran is demanding explicit guarantees that neither the U.S. nor Israel, which is a big deal, will restart military operations as a prerequisite for de-escalation. Additional demands include financial reparations for wartime damages and formal acknowledgement of Tehran's sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz. This is exactly what we've been warning about all week. Actually, going back to last week, Iranian lawmakers are also drafting legislation to institutionalize a transit fee for vessels navigating the Strait of Hormuz, effectively monetizing maritime security provision along this critical choke point, for which, you know, at the start of the conflict, roughly 20% of global crude oil was traveling through there. Elsewhere, in Japan, February PPI data supported our outlook for accelerating inflation. Nothing actionable with respect to our Bayesian priors for the monetary policy, fiscal policy, and liquidity cycles. And finally, with respect to the positioning cycle, none of the aforementioned Iranian demands are included in Washington's 15-point framework proposal delivered to the Islamic Republic earlier this week. Again, none of those demands were part of Trump's 15-point framework that got markets to rally earlier this week. It is unclear whether Israel will agree to any deal struck between the U.S. and Iran, given the objectives and likely significant damage to Israeli infrastructure from Iran's persistent missile barrages. Moreover, regional powers, including Saudi Arabia and the UAE, are weighing potential military involvement against Tehran, contingent upon Iran targeting critical energy or water infrastructure, which sources characterize as a high bar for escalation. UAE Ambassador to the U.S., Yusuf Al-Atiaba, wrote in the Wall Street Journal op-ed, "We can't let Iran hold the U.S., the United Arab Emirates, and the global economy hostage," adding, "A simple ceasefire isn't enough. We need a conclusive outcome that addresses Iran's full range of threats. Continue reviewing to learn whether our institutional-grade risk management overlays, KISS and Dr. Mo, are evolving their signals in response to these or anticipated fundamental dynamics." And then, so always, we'll wrap up with a question from our 42 macro community here in our community dashboard, or sorry, in our member dashboard here. So we'll start with this one's titled Market Manipulation. It says, "I see it's mentioned in the lead-off morning note about the large trades placed yesterday morning." This is from a couple of days ago, where the markets front ran the announcement of the detente that President Trump signaled at about, I want to say, 7 o'clock on Monday morning. There were some massive trades that are like, you know, 6 to 10 times larger than the trades, you know, previously, you know, the kind of like the 5-day average size trades at that time frame, right before the announcement was released on Truth Social. So clearly somebody knew something. It seems like this may have gone on for a long time. And in this case, somebody got greedy, pigs became hogs. I'm glad we were already out of equities at that moment. So thanks to Didi for that. My question is, where does that leave us as investors, if large institutions have information advantages and are using those advantages to extract wealth from the market? Is it a zero-sum game? If it is, these gains are actually coming at our expense, and I would like to know how we can remain confident in markets in the face of this kind of activity. So doing this for almost 2 decades, I'll tell you right now, someone always knows something. That's step one. The morally impaired will always use MNPI, material non-public information, to extract rents from global capital markets. That's step two. And number three, once you acknowledge the persistent, you know, the durable persistence of step one and of number one and number two, then you need to take action as an investor to make sure that you are, you know, your portfolio is safeguarded from that type of activity. You can't do anything about, you know, people gaming the system, you know, whether it be the Trump family, the Kushner family, or the Pelosi family. You cannot do anything about the, you know, the elites gaming the system in this country or in any country. So you have to just move on from worrying about that or spending time on Twitter complaining about that. Your goal should be to retire on time and comfortably. And you need to optimize your investing habits and all the choices that you make, and particularly putting guardrails around the choices that you make, because we all suffer from cognitive biases that make us make stupid decisions, particularly in weeks like these. You need to optimize your habits and your decisions towards achieving your strategic investment objective, which is retiring on time and comfortably. And so going back to this question is, you know, what can we do as retail investors? What can retail investors do when you have this type of activity ongoing in global financial markets? Well, the step one is you want to make sure that the types of decisions that you're making in your portfolio are super high quality, the kinds of decisions at the right time and the right factors that institutional investors, the folks who are closest to the MNPI, are making in their portfolios, the folks who are extracting the rents. You want to be, you know, using tools like KISS and Dr. Mo, which are quantitative, systematic, institutional grade risk management overlays, to make sure that the choices that you're making, whether it be from an asset allocation or portfolio construction perspective, are being made and are very similar to the types of choices that the institutions who are closer to all that MNPI are making in their portfolios. You want to be approaching financial market risk-taking with the same kind of frameworks, the same kind of models, and ultimately the same kind of results that these institutions have. So that's why 42 Macro exists, is to eradicate that asymmetry between what our buy-side clients are doing out there from a risk management standpoint and versus what the median retail investor is doing out there from a risk management standpoint. There's a massive gap. And that's why I continue to warn investors, retail investors, about taking factor risks in financial markets. I'm not alone in that warning. There have been many investors who've warned you guys about taking factor risks in financial markets. Two of the best investors of all time have explicitly warned retail investors about taking factor risks in financial markets, including Warren Buffett and Ray Dalio. This stuff is serious. There are people with way more sophisticated systems, way more resources, way more experience, way more academic achievement, way more, way higher EQ, emotional intelligence, in terms of their ability to withstand drawdowns and not react to bull porn or bear porn. They have all these advantages. And so my point is, if you're going to be taking factor risk as a retail investor, you need to first, before you make any trades, long, short, this, that, win, in, out, before you make one trade taking factor risk as a retail investor, you need to honestly acknowledge all those advantages on the other side of your trade. I'm pausing for dramatic effect. Before you make a single trade as a retail investor taking factor risk, you need to open your mouth and say, I acknowledge that the retail, the institutional investors that Darius serves via his protocol service at 42 Macro are all equipped with more resources in terms of research and risk management signals. They have better risk management overlays that are backed by proven quantitative techniques. Most of these people have significantly advanced academic achievement. They have higher emotional intelligence in terms of their ability to withstand drawdowns and ignore bull porn and bear porn and just make thoughtful, dispassionate decisions in financial markets. You need to say all that stuff out loud before you make one factor bet. You need to acknowledge their advantage, their structural advantages, which is why this factor investing is a zero-sum game. Alpha generating in financial markets, outperforming the index, outperforming in financial markets is a zero-sum game. And that's why there's so much churn and turnover over the buy side, because it's really hard to consistently do that well, as Nobel Prize research from the likes of Danny Kahneman and Amos Tversky and Cass Sunstein and Phil Tetlock and Richard Garner and all the other folks at the Chicago factory would suggest. You know, this stuff's really hard. And so landing this plane, once you acknowledge all that stuff and you recognize that, hey, you have a structural advantage relative to all those people competing in a very difficult game, and that's called the ability to collect beta. They can't get paid on collecting beta. They have to generate returns above the systematic return. They have to have high information ratios, high Sharpe ratios, high Sortino ratios, high Kalmar ratios. If you don't understand what those things are, then you shouldn't be taking factor risk, in my opinion, to begin with. I would certainly not be taking factor risk if you don't understand what those things are. And because again, that's what they're doing. That's the game they're playing. And so if you want to play their game, be my guest. But my goal is to help you retire on time and comfortably. And the best way to retire on time and comfortably is not participate in that game and go participate in the game where it's rigged in your favor. And that's called beta. Go collect the beta. Go collect the mana from the heavens when it's raining. Close your basket and get in the tent when it's not, or sorry, when the mana's raining. Close your basket and get in the tent when it's dark outside or when it's storming. That's it. If you can do that over and over again across market cycles, which means you're generating a positively skewed return distribution in your account, which no retail investor can do without the use of sophisticated institutional risk management systems, if you create a positively skewed return distribution in your account and compound returns from a higher net asset value, so that compounding works and grows faster exponentially, you will make more money across multiple market cycles. You will make more money faster and ultimately achieve your strategic investment objective, which is, you know, retiring on time and comfortably. At least it should be retiring on time and comfortably. So just wrapping up, the key takeaway is you don't have to participate in the game where it's rigged against you. You should participate in the game where it's rigged in your favor, which is what KISS is designed to do. And if you insist on participating in a game where it's rigged against you, then you definitely need institutional grade risk management overlays to make sure that the decisions and habits that you are bringing to the table are at least as closely aligned to the decisions and the habits that they're bringing to the table on the other side of your trades. And that's why Dr. Mo exists. Hopefully that was helpful. Again, the system's rigged. You know it's rigged. We know it's rigged. Stop complaining about it being rigged and go do something about it being rigged. That's what 42 Macro exists. So let me just wrap up with a couple comments here. This one says, thanks, Darius. Your work has affected my family and mental health over the past 18 months since I've been here in the most positive way. I have more time now, less stress now, and can spend more time with my kids. Just following KISS and Dr. Mo, working wonders. If you can't follow KISS or Dr. Mo, I would advise you to leave. Save us all the headache. I am here for life. Nothing is better than this risk management product. End of story. If you can't handle a drawdown, financial markets aren't for you. Hire someone else to manage your money or just follow KISS and Dr. Mo. And then just finally wrapping up, says from a retail investor with 5 years of market experience, it says, I just want to say thanks, not only for KISS and Dr. Mo, but the time and effort you and the team put forward to educate us retail investors. I've learned so much from you and from the team. I'm a self-driven individual and love learning about markets and continue to expand my knowledge and experience. I love it, so it's not work. I actually enjoy it. The education alone is worth the compounding effect. I just want to say thank you for taking the time to share that knowledge and also humble enough to know we are lifelong learners and mistakes are usually our best teachers. Thank you for your words and the around the horn and being humble. Thank you for all that you do. For anybody who wants to expand their knowledge and understanding of financial markets, the education alone is worth it, in my opinion. Anyways, I just wanted to say thank you. So thank you. Appreciate you guys for the kind feedback. You know, we continue to get just a ton of kind feedback from the members of our global investor community regarding the efficacy, the results that KISS and Dr. Moore are generating in their portfolios. But beyond that, in my opinion, it's way more than that as we continue to see the education that we're providing here in our global investor community, the lower amount of stress that investors are approaching financial market risk-taking with, and I would argue just as important as if not the most important thing, which is the amount of time investors get back because they're not going down rabbit holes, podcast rabbit holes, YouTube rabbit holes, not spending all day on finance Twitter, not spending all day on Reddit, not spending all day on TikTok or wherever stupid place people get their investment advice from these days. They're not wasting time getting terrible investment advice and implementing terrible investment choices. They're getting high quality investment choices that require a fraction of the time to understand and implement, particularly from folks like this who've actually made time to review the educational materials that we have produced for them. So you guys are in our community. If you want to get access to those materials, they're just down here. Click on this hamburger menu at the top right, KISS FAQ, Dr. Mo FAQ, Fourth Turning FAQ, the glossary, which explains all of our, how our models work, how they connect to each other, what they're trying to forecast, why they try to forecast the way they forecast, you know, all the stuff that I've been, learning from my travels across the global buy side for the past 20 years. And then I try to put that all together for you guys in a very simple, kind of macro class. It's about 3 hours, 1 hour each segment to kind of give you the building blocks of how to approach financial market risk taking like a skilled macro risk manager, institutional macro risk manager. Again, not everybody wants to play the game at the highest level, but 42 Macro exists to help investors who do want to play the game at the highest level, play the game at the highest level. So we'll wrap it up there. Jerry Stell here presenting our Macro Minute for Thursday, March 26, 2026. Best of luck out there today. I'm going to be offline Friday and Monday, so I will see you back here on Tuesday. Everyone have a wonderful weekend. Thank you.
Disclaimer, 42 Macro does not provide, and no portion of our content purports to be, individualized or specific investment advice. And 42 Macro does not provide investment advice to individuals. All information provided by 42 Macro is general in nature and is made without regard to individual levels of sophistication or investment experience, investment preferences, objectives, or risk parameters, and without regard to the suitability of the content for individuals or entities who may access it. No information provided by 42 Macro should be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor should it be construed as tailored or specific to you or consumer thereof. You understand and agree that our content does not constitute specific recommendations of any particular investment, security, portfolio, transaction, or strategy, nor does it recommend any specific course of action is suitable for any specific person or entity or group of persons or entities. At any point in time, the employees of 42 Macro may own a portion of or all the ETF securities discussed in 42 Macro Research content. 42 Macro Research content is based upon information from sources believed to be reliable. 42 Macro is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information, nor is it responsible for the accuracy or authenticity of the information upon which it relies.